Good morning, conference. It's an honour to be here with you this morning. Almost exactly 1 year ago, I was standing up here at our conference, and we were optimistic, gearing up for an election. We had momentum. We believed that the election would be a step up. We would move up into the Premier League, and that we would make a greater impact on Northern Ireland. Well, it didn't happen. We didn't achieve our ambitions. I think, let's be honest about it. The DUP played the sectarian card, and that damaged us. Now, there are a number of reasons why we didn't break through and have one, two or three MLAs elected. But that was one factor. It spooked many in the unionist community. But it left us defeated, deflated and damaged. So since last year, we've had some highs and we've had a very clear low. But you know, defeat and trauma does not inevitably lead to a negative outcome. A post-traumatic stress disorder is a very real condition, as some of us know it firsthand. But also post-traumatic growth is equally real. Post-traumatic growth is where people emerge more resilient and stronger after trauma. It's positive psychological change experienced as a result of adversity. The message is that suffering and distress can yield positive change. And that's a message not just for us as a party, but it's got a much wider application and relevance in Northern Ireland. Post-traumatic growth relies upon you recognising and adjusting to the new realities. But when you do that, it gives you a greater appreciation of life, it gives you a changed sense of priorities, and it gives you a recognition of new possibilities. And you know, new possibilities and new opportunities do stand before us as a party. People appreciate what the Progressive Unionist Party has achieved over the past 40 years in terms of the peace process, the political process, in local communities and in local government. The PUP has made a significant contribution. But clearly we need to convince the electorate that we can also do the business when it comes to regional government, that we can deliver. So what does the PUP offer? You could say, what's the point of the PUP? What distinguishes it from other unionist parties, sometimes from all other unionist parties? Well, first of all, let me speak about three things. First of all, the PUP offers a vision of Northern Ireland built on a foundation of justice, of social justice. We're committed to tackling the inequality, poverty, lack of opportunity, and the discrimination that exists on the basis of gender, sexuality, race, religion, and social background. Those need to be addressed. And frankly, I don't see other unionist parties addressing those inequalities, tackling the issues of social justice. Billy Mitchell said, genuine peace building is based on equity and fairness. That's what Northern Ireland needs. It's not being delivered. And I think our commitment is to address that. Secondly, the Progressive Unionist Party believes that everyone does better when those who are least well off, those who are at the bottom of the pile, on the periphery, do better. When those who have the most obstacles to overcome get the support they need, do well and achieve, then the outcome is that the whole of society benefits. We end up with a thriving Northern Ireland, not a divided, unequal Northern Ireland, riven with social and class divisions, but we end up with a cohesive, thriving, flourishing country. But if we ignore those who have least, if we ignore those who have the most obstacles to overcome, if we ignore those who have the fewest opportunities, then that will not happen. Billy Mitchell again said, "The social and economic well-being of the people of Northern Ireland should be as important to loyalists as the maintenance of the Union." Let me repeat that, because you could also use the word unionist. The social and economic well-being of the people of Northern Ireland should be as important to unionists as the maintenance of the Union. You know, too many children are failing in school. We have too many people in the workforce with no recognised formal qualifications. We have the second highest level of any city in the United Kingdom of people in the workforce with no formal qualifications. We have too high a level of chronic ill health. We have too many who are economically inactive. We have too many who are reliant upon welfare benefits. Those are issues that cannot be tolerated. They need to be addressed. And frankly, the unionist parties in power have been in power for decades, and yet the situation continues. So we believe that a successful Northern Ireland means that everyone enjoys the success. We need to ensure that that happens. Thirdly, we're unashamedly and unambiguously unionist. We're proud to belong to a United Kingdom that is a union of four nations that are diverse, culturally rich and inclusive. We want to maintain our citizenship within a state that acknowledges and validates our historic and family origins and the traditions and culture that flow from them. We think the United Kingdom is a great concept. It's a unique concept. It's something to be proud of. It's rich, it's tolerant, it's creative, it's inclusive, it's economically vibrant. And we want to be a part of that. We want to champion that. We want to say, we're proud to be British. We are proud to be part of the United Kingdom. It's a family of nations. We are unique, but we're also part of that family, and we're proud to be part of it. We're not anti-Irish. Goodness me, Gusty Spence could say that he's an Ulsterman, but he's also British and Irish. We're not threatened by the Republic of Ireland. Let me read to you what Henry Sinnerton wrote about the Progressive Unionist Party some years ago in his biography of David Irvine. The PUP had set out a list of policies with the aim of rebuilding a normal society where all talents could find expression. They neither exploited sectarianism among the working class nor pandered to the incoherent anger of the comfortably off. They made clear their respect for and the legitimacy of the views and aspirations of their Catholic and nationalist neighbours. An inclusive Northern Ireland doesn't threaten us. A united Ireland doesn't threaten us. There is no enthusiasm, appetite, or momentum for a united Ireland. The support for it has not increased over the past 30 years. In fact, there is huge appetite and support for peaceful cooperation with the south of Ireland, political friendship and social and economic cooperation. We are comfortable with that. That's mutually beneficial to Northern Ireland and to the South. For example, in Council last month, there was a motion proposed by Sinn Féin to seek funding from the European Juncker Fund of £2 billion to set up a high-speed rail link between Belfast and Dublin. That's a great idea. Money from the European Union to create infrastructure that supports economic development, that increases the market, and gives folks freedom and choice. What is there to object to that? So we are comfortable working with the Republic of Ireland. We're comfortable working with our nationalist neighbours. We're not threatened by the south of Ireland. As Winston Irvine said, we don't need to denigrate someone else's culture in order to celebrate our own. So what do we commit ourselves to? What are our goals? Well, our goals are a Northern Ireland where everyone can flourish and that is not riven by division. What are our priorities? Well, every political party has got a wide range of policies that they want to implement. But where the differences stand out is in your priorities. What actually do you want to see happen as opposed to what actually do you think is a good idea? Well, our priorities include such things as ensuring that there is an implementation of a living wage. Let's deal with 0 hours employment and in-work poverty. Let's ensure that people who work are adequately remunerated for their work, are given a wage that they deserve. An action plan to address fuel poverty, including a programme for cavity wall insulation. It's not right that people have to choose between heating the house and eating. We have got significant housing stock that is inadequately insulated. Fuel poverty is a real issue, often to elderly. We need to address that. We want to see an end to the socially divisive and educationally counterproductive practice of academic selection at the age of 11. I mean, it says everything about the DUP when they take up the Department of Education, and the first major announcement they make is that they're going to support schools as they prepare their children for academic selection. How does that bring social justice? How does that address educational underachievement? How does that deal with the problems that children from the poorest backgrounds have to overcome? We want to express our support for community education, especially in the women's sector. If we have so many people without formal qualification or who are economically inactive, the route back to that is through community education for many of them. And the women's sector has proven itself to be unequal in its ability to help people overcome obstacles and achieve qualifications and get back into employment. We want to see an integrated, cross-sectoral, properly resourced strategy and action plan for suicide prevention and greater emotional resilience. We have too many of our young people self-harming or taking their own lives. We need to seriously and comprehensively address it. We believe in early intervention, early years intervention for our children. And while every political party will talk about it, we still have inadequately funded Sure Starts. We still have families that are effectively abandoned. We still have children reaching school, barely able to speak, and barely out of nappies. That needs to be addressed. You know, Northern Ireland has the people, the talents, the entrepreneurial skills to create a vibrant, successful country. What is our role? Well, as a party, we need to be seen to be delivering on the ground for our communities. We need to win their confidence that we are a party who does deliver, who does get the business done. These priorities that I've set out are transformational. They will transform Northern Ireland if they are implemented. You know, there is still as work to do in building the peace. The war is over, but the peace needs to be built. We need to be creating a new Northern Ireland. not just rehashing the arguments of the past. Martin Luther King said, "I've decided to stick to love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." There is still too much sectarian hatred in Northern Ireland. Billy Mitchell said, "Peace building demands personal involvement. It is the process that I am committed to and that has become a part of my way of life. Sustainable peace will only come to Northern Ireland when all of us who live in it become personally active as peace builders." The PUP is ready and willing to address the issues that are undermining the security and prosperity of Northern Ireland, that will create a peaceful, prosperous and vibrant country. If we remain personally active and committed, if we work together as a team and as a party, if we challenge injustice where we see it, if we see the importance of equality of opportunity, if we fight for those who have least, we will achieve that goal. Thank you very much, conference.